W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. House Republicans are moving forward in their attempts to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, saying he has not told the truth about border security. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott on Capitol Hill.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is firing back, writing in a new letter that the charges against him are baseless, adding, "I assure you that your false accusations do not rattle me and do not divert me." Republicans on the Homeland Security Committee accusing him of willful and systematic refusal to comply with the law and breach of public trust.
The White House and the Pentagon weighing their next steps in response to the deadly drone attack on a U.S. base in Jordan, 3 U.S. service members killed. The election board in Illinois is now scheduled to consider whether to keep Donald Trump on the state's primary ballot after a recommendation that he be removed over the Constitution's insurrection provision. A South Carolina judge denying Alec Murdoch's bid for a new trial after accusations of jury tampering. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips wants the Wisconsin Supreme Court to order his name on the primary ballot in Wisconsin. Phillips wants a ruling by February 9th to be on the April 2nd ballot. There's concern artificial intelligence will undermine this year's elections. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says a robocall imitating President Biden urged people in New Hampshire not to vote in their recent primary.
Our bigger concern is what's known as a liar's dividend, that even when there are instances of generative AI being used to target voters with false information, they feed into this bigger risk that the presence of false information makes voters trust any information less.
Governor Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have both formed AI task forces. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Fire Department responded to a reported house fire in West Duluth on Tuesday morning. According to a Northern News Now report, the fire on 69th Avenue West was reported around 3 a.m. on Tuesday, and crews arrived to find the fire on the first level of a two-story home and heavy smoke and flames coming out of the house. Fire crews managed to get the flames out and worked through the morning to contain the smoke coming from the house. Authorities have not announced if anybody was injured in the fire. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced $4 million of grant funding for local governments, tribal governments, and nonprofit organizations for conservation efforts. According to a press release, the grant funding will support projects that positively impact trees and people in disadvantaged communities. Potential projects include direct conservation efforts, expansions or improvements to urban forests, and staff training, among others. The grant application period will open in February. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point. And I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did. And you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
He's on first for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' new first baseman, Rhys Hoskins, met with reporters after suffering a torn ACL last March with the Phillies. Hoskins says he's looking forward to this Thursday.
February 1st will be coming up right at 10 and a half months, so that by the time we get to Arizona for spring, I really should have little to no limitations once we get there and once games start, which is just exciting for me.
Men's college basketball, number 9th ranked Marquette on the road tonight against Villanova, the number 6th ranked team in the nation. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Nebraska Thursday. NBA, the Denver Nuggets spoiling the debut of Doc Rivers with a 113-107 win over Milwaukee. Rivers says defensively the Bucks played okay. It's offense he's focused on.
I didn't think we were crisp offensively. We had stretches where the ball was humming and hopping, and then we had stretches where it didn't. And that's those stretches we have to clean up.
That's the Bucks' new head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It- It is going to be mostly cloudy today, although we will catch glimpses of the sun here and there throughout the day. Our high 37 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25 tomorrow. Mostly sunny and quite a bit warmer with a high of 45 on Thursday, partly cloudy, 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball coming up at noon on Tuesday, another edition of Wacky Things Legislators Say in Madison. Join us at noon on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Brother, huh?
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Hey. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And for whatever reason, my camera doesn't seem, it's rejecting me this morning. I don't know why.
There's a message there, Earl.
I finally brushed my teeth and combed my hair and put on some deodorant. So I don't, maybe
yeah.
That's why it's rejecting me.
Yeah, it's a different. It doesn't think it's you.
Well, anyway, good morning, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, I'm doing fine, man. You know, that's Sandy Williams. You ought to know by now. So, who that guy is? How you doing, Sandy?
This is the point where everyone turns off the radio. It's like, oh yeah, there he is.
Hey, it's beautiful outside, man.
It has. Yesterday was really a nice day.
Yeah. I mean, the sun was there. There was a modicum of warmth yesterday, right?
Yeah.
It actually got to 40 degrees.
Radiant.
Yeah. Not so much about radiant. But anyway, we've got a lot to talk about this morning, as always. And that camera, Calvin, don't worry about it right now. We'll deal with it at another time. You know, we've got two beautiful faces on the camera, Sandy.
Huh?
You're not sure who he's talking about.
What are you looking at?
I'm talking about Tom Content. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about Tom Content.
So, I covered energy and utilities for the Journal Sentinel. I was a longtime journalist at the Journal Sentinel, covering in the business on the business desk over there. And about 7 years ago, I switched careers and joined the Citizens Utility Board as their executive director. So, CUB, if people haven't heard of it. We've been around a long time, but it's the customer advocate for all the residential and small business customers of the utilities across the state. So we're there as kind of the nonpartisan, nonprofit, independent voice for customers.
So Earl, when I was practicing law, I spent lots of my time in the energy space working with utilities and got to know Tom back in those days. So he's from my prior life. I did work representing utilities primarily, and he was covering utilities in the press. And then more recently,
in his capacity as Cub. He's a highly regarded guy, very knowledgeable.
So it must be good to reconnect with him, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And sure. And a surprise, pleasant surprise this morning.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I just wanted to kind of have this, appreciate your inviting me on to have this forum to talk about what we do for the customers across the state and around the Milwaukee area.
So both you guys, Sandy, all I know about We Energies is I've always been frustrated because, We Energies is a monopoly. And so it has its kind of the board that serves We Energies is not really serving.
Well, it's a unique process. The utility industry developed back at the turn of the last century, more or less. And at that time, it was clear that it wasn't going to work to have competing wires. You know, if you couldn't have five electric wires running all over the city because you had five different providers of electricity. And so they early on, and Wisconsin was one of the pioneers in this, decided that they would have monopolies that would be regulated by the state, price regulated, and otherwise regulated to make sure that the market power of being a monopoly couldn't be exploited, and the benefits of having the monopoly could be used for the benefit of the state, so that it made it possible to create electric service very quickly. From the point that whoever you want to give credit to, Edison or Tesla, created the capacity to have multiple generating plants operating at once and having a system. From that point to the point where they started having them was very quick, and it was because of the fact that they quickly adopted this monopoly-based system that was regulated. But what's important, the key word there is regulated.
That's okay? Right. Yeah, because there are other companies in the world now that have monopolistic power that don't have that kind of regulation. So that's where, I mean, there are photos in the Library of Congress archives that show multiple power lines and multiple poles on the same street before this decision was made that, actually it makes sense to have a monopoly, but let's have the state, the Public Service Commission in our case, be the regulatory body that oversees and regulates those monopolies.
And so the issue there is, so you've got the Public Service Commission, it's like a court, kind of. It's like a regulatory court. And when the utility wants to raise its rates, or actually just have its rates reviewed because maybe they should be going down and not up, they come to the Public Service Commission. There are hearings, much like a mini judicial proceeding, but it's all about the costs that the electric utility is experiencing, whether they should be, whether those are reasonable costs, and how much of those costs should get passed through to the ratepayers, the customers. And all of that is quite technical, very technical in the current world. And it's really impossible for Tom, Dick, and Mary to handle that. They can't show up at these hearings and do an able job of opposing big-time utilities. We Energies is a very big company.
They're a very big company.
So I've always been frustrated because they've never been turned down when they asked for rate increases that I can recall. And yet the citizens themselves, I didn't know, really have not been able to push back.
Well,
I think they have been turned down to a point. It's just a question of they don't get everything they ask for. So when a utility comes in to increase rates, they come in with gobs of witnesses with expert testimony. And then we have economists on staff and policy experts that put in testimony. And then the Public Service Commission conducts an audit that reviews the financials of the utility. And by and large, our rates are too high as a state and for We Energies customers, but there is some moderation in terms of they don't get everything they ask for every time. In recent years, the Public Service Commission has actually taken steps to move profits in a more reasonable direction, in the customer direction, so that we're seeing savings for the customers by lowering the profit.
So the real question, Sandy, is who appoints the Public Service Commission?
The governor appoints them. And Wisconsin was one of the
first
early
state in
pioneers.
The country. Yeah, yeah, yeah. First state in the country to regulate them.
And we've set up so that they have staggered appointments, terms. So they have two-year appointments, and they stagger. And so over a period of time, you're likely to have bipartisan appointed commissioners. If someone's governor long enough, you lose that.
And so the staggered 6-year terms, it kind of creates that flow over time. Right now we have two commissioners appointed by Governor Evers and one vacancy.
So you know, they do represent, but once they're appointed, they're supposed to operate independently from the governor's office. For instance, they're not part of, although the chairman is part of the cabinet, I guess now, but it's supposed to be an independent agency that looks at the evidence and reaches decisions. Some of the biggest mistakes that have been made in Wisconsin with respect to electric rates were actually made by the legislature. Back at the there was a thing called Power of the Future, and We Energies was able to get it through, and it promised them a certain high level of return or profit when they built power plants. And
Teacher Williams, I have my hand up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you use the word supposed to 3 or 4 different times. I'm listening, yeah. Teacher. Yeah. 3 or 4 times in what you were saying. Will you please explain to us what supposed to means?
Well, that's why Thomas is here, because he is supposed to hold their feet to the fire.
We hold their feet to the fire. Yeah, no, the legislature did enable the utility to earn exorbitant profit rate on the new coal plant that was built in Oak Creek, as well as the new natural gas plant that was built in Port Washington. And so that's kind of when we see that We Energy's customers are paying rates that are, you know, ranking a top 10 among 50 Midwest utilities. That's one of the key reasons why. But I don't want to get people, I want to show that our advocacy has worked for customers over time. In the last 5 years or so, we've saved customers our advocacy has helped save about $500 million in terms of tempering the size of those rate increases that could have been enacted for not just We Energies, but all 5 utilities, or big utilities across the state.
You know, Sandy, you know, this is your territory.
Well, CUB is actually a vital entity, and the legislature for a while.
CUB is an acronym for?
Citizens Utility Board.
Yeah.
And the Citizens Utility Board is a vital entity because of the fact that there needs to be an opponent who is going to make sure the truth wins out in this process of advocacy before the Public Service Commission.
Yeah. From our perspective, it's about policy, not politics. It's about facts and not rhetoric. And it's about following the data. So we don't have an agenda. We have, you know, we have member support from people around the state, and including the Milwaukee area. And some of them are progressives who want a more distributed solar, more rooftop solar on homes and businesses. Some are libertarians who are skeptical of big government, but they're also skeptical of big monopolies. So, you know, we're following the facts and following the data, trying to get the best advocacy for customers.
But my point is that absent some organization that has wherewithal to provide expert testimony to deal with the testimony of the utility, you would end up with just the utility and the pride of the Public Service Commission. You know, the Public Service Commission is supposed to do its job, but they need someone to help them expose the issues that are embedded in whatever the utility's asking for. And so, you know, there was a while when there was a process of depleting CUB of its resources, and that was very dangerous for the state.
All right. We've got in studio Tom Content, who's with the Citizens Utility Board, and Sandy Williams. We've got a great conversation this morning. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll return.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZ Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, lost who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, my guest is, our guest is Tom Cotton with the Citizens Utility Board, now always Sandy Williams. And Sandy, there's some things that you wanted to talk about.
Well, no, I wanted to ask Tom about it because actually you just raised a good point off the when we were off the air about how it was that people who struggle to pay their utility bills, particularly in the winter when they get very large, were damaged by the merger between Wisconsin Gas and Wisconsin Electric that caused them now to receive what? Well, and tell me about that, Tom. Well, how did that?
Well, I think it just made it easier for the utility to shut people off and of all their service and not just their natural gas.
And that's because they get one bill and so...
One combined bill.
So if you don't pay your bill, customer, you're not paying both your gas and your electric
exactly.
bill. So you don't have... And you were saying, Earl, that back before that time, if your gas was shut off, you could use your electric oven or something to try and stay alive.
Let's talk about what transpired when they had that merger. What happened was people started dying because they were using electricity from the neighbor. They'd run an extension cord from their home that was shut off to the next door, and fires were happening and people were dying. And the result was that they came up with a moratorium. April 15th every year, We Energies can shut off gas and electric. November something.
Yeah, it's right. You can't.
They can't shut
winter
you off
moratorium,
anymore.
So you can't shut it off people in the winter.
Actually, that happened before. I at least for gas.
Right.
I was involved with a case long ago, and Mr. Radke was his name. He lived up in Ocado, and he froze to death, and the utility was had shut him off because he hadn't paid his bill, and the question was he died.
Right.
And the question was whether he froze to death or died of something else. And while that was inconclusive, the commission decided that gas shutoff should not be permitted during the heating season. But that, of course, got confounded when this merger of the bills happened here in Milwaukee, which would have changed the consequence.
Well, right, and I'm curious if the Citizens Utility Board was around at that time.
Yeah, they were. I don't know where that, you know, they don't know. They were. Focus at the time was probably more in the cases at the Public Service Commission. And at that time, they were still fighting AT&T's rates because AT&T was a regulated monopoly back then. So I'm not as familiar with that.
So those monopolies, you look in Illinois, they've got more than one.
No, they actually, Illinois is a little different, but Illinois has one regulated state utility.
Okay.
And individual customers, if you have a house and you're just going to have electricity, you will have to take it from Commonwealth Edison, for instance, in the Chicago area. If you're an industrial customer, you then have the opportunity to buy your electricity from somebody else. Okay, so it's a little different there, but
they did open it up so that energy people can actually choose an alternative supplier in Illinois
in the retail at the
even
retail
in
level?
The retail level.
So our
counterpart of the Citizens Utility Board down in Illinois is actually they're kind of they're there fighting for customers, and actually urging them oftentimes to go back to ComEd because people are getting taken advantage of by these alternative suppliers, these competitive suppliers that they come in and it's almost like going door to door trying to sell you a deal, and it's That's why it's a reason why the consumer protection aspect of deregulation is why we like the system that we have in Wisconsin better, even though we think our rates are too high.
No, I'm a firm believer that the old system for retail customers in particular was the appropriate system to have, and that the capacity of someone to buy electricity in a competitive marketplace is pretty difficult.
Yeah, but the energy world hasn't stood still. The parts of it are opening up to competition. There's now a wholesale energy market that utilities bid their power plants into, and there's actually competitive bidding going on for ownership and construction of big power line projects. It's happening in the Midwest. It's actually happened already in Wisconsin with Dairyland Power Cooperative in Wisconsin. But our concern right now, as the end of this legislative session nears, is that the utilities are running to try to prevent competitive bidding and block competitive bidding on about $2 billion of new power line projects that are slated to be built in Wisconsin.
So, Sandy, let's bring Cindy from Appleton on. Good morning to you, Cindy. You have a question or comment?
Yes, good morning, and I'm not surprised we energies and groups like that are trying to stop these service commissions or whatever you're talking about to, you know, make more competitive bidding for electricity. And I think we energies is so greedy. They've always been greedy. But I blame who I really blame is the PSC, which I refer to as the Public Utility Commission, because they are always approving rate hikes. And it just disturbs me because they're supposed to be working on behalf of the citizens, but they work on behalf of the utilities.
Thank you very much for the call.
One observation I have had over my career is that regulatory agencies have a tendency to get to know the industries they regulate very well. And there does have to be some level of cooperation that exists between the regulated and the regulator. And that regulation process can get kind of cozy over time.
Yeah, and we've had a challenge with a kind of a revolving door issue with commissioners who, once they're done being a PSC commissioner, often have time and again ended up working for the utilities. And so the cozy relationship is there. That's one of the reasons CUB exists, is to be as a watchdog. But definitely the Public Service Commission has a balancing act to do. And we think by and large the rates are too high, but they have made some inroads in recent years, especially with respect to people who are struggling to make ends meet.
Are they accountable to the legislature at all?
Well, in a way they could be.
In a way,
the legislature passes bills, and this just happened. The Senate has the power to confirm. Yeah. Or reject PSC commissioners, and just recently they took the step to reject a commissioner who had already been serving for about 4 years. So they are staking a role in this.
So there's a text message from Tony. I think up here in northern Wisconsin, we were having issues getting bids because there are so few people. Right now we have a co-op for energy.
Yeah, the co-ops, there are electric co-ops like Dairyland Power Cooperative and smaller co-ops around the state. And those are electricity suppliers that actually aren't regulated by the Public Service Commission. And so they're actually more accountable to their members.
So in a co-op, every customer is an owner, right? So it's different. And there are different ways. There are private utilities like We Energies. There are municipal utilities. Port Washington, I believe, is a
Manitowoc, Cedarburg, Shawano.
So there, that's right. Port Washington, Manitowoc, and Cedarburg is one of the closest. And those are then municipal utilities. They are regulated, but it's the government that owns it's the local government that owns the utility.
All right, 844-967-2789. Our guest is Tom Content. He is with Citizens Utility Board, and the other guy is I think his name is Sandy Williams. We'll return.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A hotline for Wisconsin students to report concerns about threats of violence have reached a milestone. The Justice Department's Office of School Safety says 10,000 tips have been made to the Speak Up, Speak Out tip line. Almost 200 of the tips were about guns or planned school attacks. A new study links racism online to higher rates of stress and suicide among Black teenagers. Dr. Raquel Martin is a clinical psychologist. She says social media often amplifies what happens in everyday life.
Having social media provides you with an opportunity to see how people that look like you are being treated in their own city and state and country, and acknowledging the fact that that is not often good.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says suicide rates among Black youth in the U.S. are rising faster than any other group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Second Harvest Heartland has announced a campaign to cut Minnesota hunger in half by the year 2030. Through its new Make Hunger History program, the organization is looking to reverse a concerning trend in the number of Minnesotans visiting food banks as COVID-19-era protections begin to fade. Second Harvest Heartland expects that they will need between $150 and $250 million over the next few years and have partnered with companies like the Cargill Foundation and Target to get started. 3 weeks following the deadly shooting at the Cloquet Super 8 Hotel, law enforcement authorities are still searching for a motive. Police Chief Derek Randall shared an update on the investigation on Monday morning and says investigators still haven't learned why 32-year-old Nicholas Lennius committed the shooting before apparently taking his own life, nor if there were any connections between Lennius and the two victims. Officials hope the results of a final autopsy and toxicology report will shed light on the incident. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Academy Award nominations were announced. Oppenheimer led the way with 12, including Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Director. After Oppenheimer, 2024 is the year of the snub. Killers of the Flower Moon nabbed 10 nominations, but Leo DiCaprio was not nominated, surprising many, but not me. Lily Gladstone, who played DiCaprio's wife, became the first Native American nominee to receive an Oscar nod for Best Actress. Barbie was nominated 8 times, but with 3 big surprises. Margot Robbie was not nominated for Best Actress, Greta Gerwig was snubbed for Best Director, and the third surprise? Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Actor. Huh? If it makes the snubbies feel any better, Oprah and her film, The Color Purple, were denied a Best Pick nomination, too. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today, although we will catch glimpses of the sun here and there throughout the day. Our high 37 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25 tomorrow. Mostly sunny and quite a bit warmer with a high of 45 on Thursday, partly cloudy, 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Just too good to be true.
can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much.
I don't know, Sandy, if that's an appropriate song to be playing with Tom Compton in the studio. Maybe we better hurry up and get that off there. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. What's today? Tuesday. And our guest is Mr. Tom Compton. He is with the Citizens Utility Board. It's Tuesday. My co-host Sandy Williams is in the studio. So before we go to you guys, we want to take the phone calls. Dave from Mequon, good morning to you, Dave. You have a question or comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is a question for a guest from the Citizen Utility Board. And then my first question is this. So he just mentioned there is in the process of now $2 billion worth invested in new power lines. I'm assuming that most of that is due to wind power and solar. That's number one. And number two, as we make this transition over to electric, I guess my concern is this. I've been watching utility rates go up exponentially in California because obviously, more people are purchasing electric cars. They're shutting down existing natural gas facilities. And I see the same thing happening here in the state of Wisconsin, where there's been a big push to shut all the coal plants, and they're going to eventually be, I think, closed up. I think the one in Oak Creek in a couple of years. And we're still paying on that, by the way, as far as making all the modifications. So my question to him is this. So going forward, are all these transmission lines that we're paying for really just the new infrastructure? We're kind of like trading from the fossil fuels to these wind farms and solar farms. So we really aren't increasing, I would assume, the capacity all that much. Is that correct?
You raised a lot of good points there. We're in the most massive change in the industry. It's industry that's been around for over 120 years, but there's more change happening now than there has ever been. As part of this energy transition, where utilities are shifting away from coal, and what happened is one of the things that it was a game changer was the dramatic drop in the price of solar, because the solar power used to be just a premium, and now it's actually more cost effective than other sources. The problem is that you have to build a lot of it, and as part of that transition, that is true that right now there are so many wind farms that have been built and solar in places like Minnesota. The wind power in Minnesota and the Dakotas is there's not enough transmission capacity to bring it across at times, So the long-term bet is that some of these transmission lines will actually be cost-effective. But our point is, let's not overspend on the transmission lines, number one. And then the other interesting point you brought up is, as we get rid of the coal, the utilities want to keep profiting on those coal plants and keep earning their return on those coal plants long after they're shut down. And that's why we're supporting efforts to actually save customers money once those coal plants shut down.
I mean, there's a problem with the transition in that you're going to end up retiring plants before you've depreciated them completely.
Exactly.
And so the utility wants to continue to recover the depreciation cost. And the utilities only earn profit off of capital investments they make, which is a bias that needs to be watched over by CUB, because utilities want to build the most expensive possible ways to produce electricity, arguably inexpensively. So that's what made nuclear power plants so very attractive, because they were very expensive to build and the power output was cheap. The same is true for wind power and solar. It's all about capital costs and there's no operating costs to speak of. But, in the long run, these transmission lines are going to be an interesting thing, because it could be that at some point they'll be vestigial, meaning that they used to be useful and aren't useful anymore. Because there is also an ongoing trend, or at least a potential trend, towards what's called microgrids. Okay, so that when utilities first started, a power plant would be built local to each city, and they provided the power to the city. It was kind of a microgrid, and it wasn't until the 50s and 60s when big power plants started getting built that we started interconnecting the power plants with transmission lines. So transmission lines in their current modern form sort of started in the 60s, and they've spread like wildfire. And right now, because of wind and solar being all over, Dave is right. It requires to be more transmission lines to carry the juice from them. But
he's absolutely right.
It could be that sometime in the future, if we end up with micro-generating facilities of some sort, or we end up with wind power and solar power being localized, we could end up with this sort of micro-grid concept again, which would render these transmission lines historical interest.
So in the end, is this going to be cheaper for the customer than the coal-powered plants?
Well, and this is where
long term,
that's the bet. And the challenge is we're in this bumpy period of the transition where we're still paying for the coal and the coal to get here from Wyoming or Pennsylvania or wherever. We're still paying for the natural gas plants and the natural gas to get piped in. And we're over time, you'll see the bet is you'll see lower costs from the solar because you don't have to pay a fuel cost when the sun is shining. In fact, for the sister utility of We Energies up in Green Bay, Wisconsin Public Service, we don't see this every year, so we can talk about it. Their rates actually came down a little bit in this month in January, in part because of that shift, and seeing the fuel cost side of the ledger come down as they're moving toward more renewables.
So Sandy, you guys, for the people who still keep pushing, Donald Trump is still promising to open up more coal plants, and there are people who still back him on that. I mean, that ship has already sailed, right?
Well, the utility companies that serve Wisconsin have aggressive decarbonization goals and clean energy goals were announced long before.
And technology has leapfrogged as well, like Tom mentioned, so that if you're going to build new electric generating power, coal is not the cheapest power to build, so the customer wouldn't have an interest in building a new coal power plant when you can have solar, for instance, at a much cheaper rate.
The economics of coal changed not long after the new Oak Creek coal plant was built, and that ended up being one of the last coal plants ever to be built in the country.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact is that this is a really complex area, and I wanted to ask Tom how it is that CUB, I mean, obviously CUB is a necessary intermediary between customers and the Public Service Commission and the utilities, but how is CUB handling this problem of complexity with its customers and with the electric utility customers so that more people will both participate in CUB and realize its value?
Yeah, what we talk about is energy democracy. And what we mean by that is getting more people involved in the process. Because as you said, it is technical. It can be off-putting to just like, what the heck are we talking about? Better decisions happen when more people are involved in the process. So that's why we have two missions at CUB. One of the missions is our regulatory work. We've got a regulatory team with economists that works at the PSC and does all that. But our other mission is education, public events, how to save on your energy bills, offering tips on how to save on your energy bills, and then getting people more involved in the process to understand what our role is. And so we have a blog that has updates. We have an email newsletter that goes out. We're on YouTube with a podcast and podcast channels with our CUB Tracks podcast that kind of helps. Our whole goal is to get more people involved in the process. And we've seen that in recent years through the cases. And one of the things that the Public Service Commission did in recent years was encourage new people, new groups to get involved in the process. So we have, in the last three years, two BIPOC-led organizations, Walnut Way Conservation Corp of Milwaukee and Blacks for Progressive and Social Action of Political and Social Action of Dane County, have both gotten involved in the rate cases. So you're seeing more people get involved. So that's led to more involvement from groups like Northside Rising and Walnut Way and trying to get into the technical issues, but also having the people's plight and hearing, having the regulators hear from the people who are really struggling ends meet.
So I'm involved with Walnut Way, and now in about been the last several months I've been involved with them. And now I'm starting to understand now with you here exactly what it is we're doing with that. But let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I get that we're trying to go to renewable energy, but my question is the solar fields that are being put in productive agriculture land and why that's allowed. And then I've got a question. I saw the secretary of, I believe, the Environmental Protection Agency question. We're going to spend, it's going to take $50 trillion to get to carbon neutral. And I saw him get questioned by Senator Kennedy, and he asked, $50 trillion, and how much is that going to reduce the median temperature to reach that? And the Environmental Protection Agency couldn't give an answer. We're destroying our economy to get to neutral, as China is building a coal plant every month.
Okay, okay, CJ, thank you. We've got it. Either one of you guys want to respond?
Well, the whole area, first of all, the trillions of dollars I don't believe are government expenditures. I think that's an estimate of what the overall cost is, including all the private investment that goes into it. And so, you know, there's the dollar amounts that are involved when you're talking about electric energy are huge. Okay. I mean, if were we to be building nuclear power plants today, we'd be talking about $10 billion, $15 billion generating plants. And a new coal plant. I can't remember what the Oak Creek cost was, but I'll bet it was close to $1 billion.
It was
$2.5 billion. So, I mean, the numbers are big because we're talking about something that everybody uses and it needs to be generated. And so sometimes we can get a little bit cockeyed about the dollar amounts when we talk about them, what it means. Because there will be dollars, big dollars invested in the electric industry going forward, no matter what direction it goes. And most of the direction that the electric industry is going right now is really being driven by the financial markets. Okay, they're deciding what it is that utilities should be investing in. And I can guarantee you that there isn't a financial, that the financial markets do not want the electric utilities to invest in coal plants, because coal plants will be a drag on the future financial viability of that utility, much the way nuclear power plants became a drag on the utilities that overinvested in them in the 1970s.
Yeah, and that's one of the early victories when after CUB was formed was when Wisconsin actually put the brakes on overbuilding of nuclear that was proposed at the time, because that would have saddled us with incredible costs.
So Mike from Cedarburg, hang on, 844-967-2789. Got to take a short hiatus. Don't touch that dial. Our guest is Tom Content. He is with the Citizens Utility Board.
But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes
of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right. And the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Albaugh with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke on the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely pays the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and our guest is Mr. Tom Cunton of Citizens Utility Board. Let's go to Mike from Cedarburg. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What he just said about China building the coal plants, I think he's mistaken. My son's been living in China for 5 years. They're taking out coal plants. They're going with solar, wind galore, because two reasons. One, most of their coal comes from Australia, which they don't have good relations with right now. And two, they realized they were killing themselves. So they're actually taking out coal plants. So I don't know where he's got his information that they're building them.
And Mike, interestingly, you called in from Cedarburg. Cedarburg is you've got a municipal utility, don't you? You pay your electric bill to the Cedarburg Municipal Utility and not to We Energies, right?
No, We Energy. I live in the town of Cedarburg.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Just outside.
Well, you know, one of the things we were talking about off the air, and I was saying, is that what's so interesting about the electric industry generally and the energy industry from the standpoint of what Tom is doing at Cub is that it's the confluence. It's the place where science, technology, policy, politics, it all comes together.
Finances, and
they meet where the rubber hits the road, which is electricity. How do we get our electricity? Who do we get it from? How much do we pay for it? How is it produced? What are the implications of how it's produced to the rest of society? All of that gets chewed on at the Public Service Commission in Wisconsin, but at public utility commissions all around the country, as well as at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So it's egghead stuff, but it's actually pretty vitally important to us and to society.
Yeah, so, it's so vital, and what we're seeing is how fast this transition is happening is drawing more attention to it. That plus the fact that because we're in a transition. Utilities are proposing to build a lot more, and We Energies is expected to propose a lot more new power plants in the coming years. As well as other utilities.
Well, you mean power generating? Because much of it won't be plants; it'll be solar or wind power, right?
Yeah, solar farms.
Yeah,
solar farms. That we'll see if they propose more wind, some more natural gas as part of this transition.
So with my gray hair. When I look in the crystal ball and when I was retiring from this industry, my sense is that in the long run, we're going to move in the direction of not needing transmission lines because we're going to have much more power generated locally, even at our homes, generated and stored there. And Tom, you're telling me that that's already happening and that there are incentives in that regard, right?
Well, there are incentives. I'll get back to the transmission in a second, but there are incentives already because Congress extended the tax credit for solar. There are incentives to go solar, but there are additional incentives that are coming for a variety of things under the Inflation Reduction Act. And those funds aren't out into the community yet, but they are expected to be later this year. And that's going to be savings on everything from insulation and air sealing. So the kind of the what we call the blocking and tackling of saving money on your energy bills is shoring up that house so that it's not leaking warm air out in the winter or chilled air out in the summer. But also if there'll be discounts and incentives for heat pumps for heat, as well as extended additional incentives for more solar. On people's homes.
Heat pumps are the new technology that operates sort of like air conditioners, but they operate in reverse in the winter and heat your home, and are quite a bit more efficient than what everyone currently would have if they have 20 years ago technology in their house. But this trend is interesting because, you know, at the home, if you can generate electricity and then have batteries to store it, like the Tesla product involves the potential to buy an electric car, but also you can buy from Tesla solar panels for your roof and battery storage for your garage.
If you can afford it.
So I'm just saying if you can afford it, but the end result of that is that each house can become much less dependent on power from anyone else.
So we got one last question. I think that our co-op was having difficulty purchasing the lines to run the amount of energy that the new power plants are pumping out. Is that accurate? I think State Senator Quinn raised that question.
I'm not sure on that one. Well, that might be referring to the big transmission line that hasn't been connected yet, which is the Cardinal Hickory Creek. There's a project from Madison to Iowa, and our concern with that is that it doesn't actually have a permit to cross the Mississippi River, which is a watershed for refuge for eagles. And so they've actually built a lot of that line and it's gone way over budget as they're building it. So that's one of the reasons why we're really concerned about the legislation that's moving quickly in Madison that would actually...
there is no question that municipal utilities and co-ops who buy power in bulk on wholesale from power generators need to have transmission lines to transmit it from one place to the other. And the reason they build new transmission lines is the existing ones become what's called congested because they only have so much capacity at certain times.
Yeah, and there's about, across the Midwest, in the years ahead, there's about $10 billion of projects that have already been approved, not just in Wisconsin, but Wisconsin, under the way the formula has worked for how we're going to pay for these things, Wisconsin has to pay its share of all of these projects, which is about 15%. So we're looking at spending over $1.5 billion just in the next coming years on transmission lines. And that's why we think it's so important that the legislature not move forward with giving these utilities an automatic pass to block competitive bidding.
So clearly, Sandy, we've just scratched the surface.
Yeah, this is...
And we've got to bring him back.
Well, I think so. But also, I would encourage people to support CUB because I think CUB is a vital function for the public and in the public interest for everybody.
Yeah, there's more details at cubwi.org.
So, Tom, clearly we've got to bring you back. Thank you very much for coming in and having this really important conversation. 844-967-2789. Got to take a short hiatus. We'll return.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.